Hello and welcome to this podcast. I am Alex and you're listening to Physics with Me. In this podcast, we are going to focus on approximation methods in quantum mechanics, both time independent and time dependent perturbations, WKB approximations, and various different rules which are used in approximation methods in quantum mechanics. As you may have already studied till now, the harmonic oscillator problem and the hydrogen atom problem, in which you can completely solve the Hamiltonian for these two systems. But normally these type of Hamiltonians does not exist in quantum mechanics in real life. In reality, you may have some sort of very crude looking perturbations inside the Hamiltonian or a very different Hamiltonian itself, which you may not be able to solve analytically, and you may have to use numerical approximations. But there are some sort of perturbations which you can solve analytically. One of them is the normal time dependent and time independent perturbation theory, which we use, in which the Hamiltonian can be written as sum of the unperturbed Hamiltonian, which is equivalent to what you have done in harmonic oscillator or a hydrogen atom, and the perturbed Hamiltonian. So sum of these two will create a new Hamiltonian. This perturbed Hamiltonian, which is the perturbation in the real unperturbed Hamiltonian, which is analytically solvable, is actually very smaller than the unperturbed Hamiltonian and can be neglected most of the time. That's why there is a factor with it, which in most books is denoted by lambda. This lambda parameter is really small, such that if you take lambda equals zero, then the Hamiltonian becomes your unperturbed Hamiltonian and there will be no perturbation in your Hamiltonian. If you try to graph the energy eigenvalue on y-axis and the lambda value on x-axis, then you can show that how with increase in the value of lambda you can diverge from your energy levels. So if the energy level is degenerate, then there can be seen two different spokes coming out in the graph, whereas normally it should go continuously in a straight path or may bend up or down depending upon the system and its perturbation. Because of this continuous variation of the value of lambda, you can use the power series method to find the first order energy or wave function approximation, and you can go up to nth order where n tends to infinity as long as you can analytically solve them. But most of the time in problems, wave function approximation up to first order and energy approximation up to first order is, or second order, is maximally used, otherwise not. A similar approximation method is variational method, in which if I have an analytically unsolvable or non-exactly solvable Hamiltonian, say H, then the ground state energy, the actual ground state energy of the Hamiltonian, if it can be solved, should always be less than equal to the expectation value of that Hamiltonian with respect to a trial wave function get, which means I have to guess a trial wave function. It can be of any form, like you can take e to the power minus beta x square, which is the form of hydrogen atom ground state wave function, or even harmonic oscillator ground state wave function approximation can also be taken. So all you have to do is just guess or make a generalized trial wave function and find the expectation value of that Hamiltonian which you are being given or you have been known but is analytically unsolvable, and that if that Hamiltonian can be exactly solvable, then the exact ground state energy should always be less than this, less than or equal to this expectation value of Hamiltonian with respect to your trial wave function. Continuing to the next time independent approximation method, which is also called the WKV approximation by the name of three scientists, Wenzel, Kremers and Brillouin. The essential idea of this approximation method is that if we imagine a particle of say energy E, which is moving through a potential Vx, which is considered to be constant most of the time in our potential well problems. So if energy E is greater than V, our potential, then the wave function is of the form psi equals A e to the power plus minus iota kx, where k is square root of 2m e minus v over h bar squared. So in the wave function, the plus sign indicates that the particle is moving towards right and the minus sign means towards left. It can be also considered as the incident part of the wave function and the reflected part of the wave function. If the wave function is oscillatory with constant wavelength lambda and a constant amplitude A. Now if the potential is not constant but varies slowly with the wavelength lambda, so for a region which has many full wavelengths, the potential is almost constant. So it is reasonable to suppose that xi remains sinusoidal, which means a sine function, the real component. Or with x, the wavelength and amplitude should also change for this particle with energy E moving through a potential V. So this is actually the inspiration behind the WKV approximation. Similarly, if energy is less than V, then the wave function is psi equals A e to the power plus minus kx, where this k, or most of the time it is taken to be kappa, equals square root of 2m V minus E by h bar square. Note that in both of these wave function forms, the amplitude A and the k, which is the wave number, are both dependent upon x. So both of them are functions of x. But this approximation fails immediately at the vicinity of turning points where the energy is approximately equal to the potential, because for here lambda goes to infinity and Vx can hardly be said to be slowly varying in comparison to it. Or you can say xi goes to infinity at the turning point because Px tends to 0. To get rid of this problem, we need a patching wave function which adds the wave function on the left and the right side of the boundary. This patching wave function is called the Airy function, and it can be found by solving the Airy equation. Also, there is an approximation taken in the potential at this boundary or turning point, which is the linearized potential approximation, in which the potential is considered to be the first order sum of energy and the first order derivative potential with multiplied by x. This is equivalent to finding the first order approximation of the Taylor series of potential x. Up till now, we are considering the perturbation theory in the realm of time independence in the system, which means the perturbed Hamiltonian which we are adding to our initial Hamiltonian is time independent. But if we take that perturbation or the perturbed Hamiltonian which is less than our initial Hamiltonian to be time dependent for a particular time interval, then how can you picture it? So mostly this type of perturbation is used for a system when we have to transfer a particle from one energy level to the another one. So what we consider is a two-level system, and how the particle is transferring from one energy level to the other by the help of this perturbation. Thus, in this perturbation, we try to find out the transmission probability for the system for various kinds of perturbation, time-dependent perturbations. Now, what if the perturbation or the perturbed Hamiltonian which we are adding to our initial system turns out to be more than what our initial Hamiltonian is? This type of approximation is called adiabatic approximation, and there is this theorem which is called the adiabatic theorem, which states that if the particle which is in the nth state of our initial Hamiltonian, if it is carried into the nth state of our final Hamiltonian, then the wave function should change considerably, but this process should be really slow. Thus the title adiabatic. For example, if I increase the length of an infinite square well from a to 2a, the wave function changes considerably, and hence the particle will end up from the ground state of the initial Hamiltonian to the final Hamiltonian. In time-dependent perturbation theory, we calculate the transition probability for any two states, but if we apply or for a photon, if we consider density of photons per unit energy which can transition by applying this perturbation, then this end up with a transmission probability which is sometimes also known as Fermi's golden rule. Hence, Fermi's golden rule is about the transition for not only any two states but a whole set of states by knowing the density of photons per unit energy. One of the important thing to note in Fermi's golden rule is that the perturbation which we apply in this system for calculating the Fermi golden rule is periodic, which means it will continue on for many cycles, such that that function sin x over x, where x is omega minus omega rm times t naught by 2, as you can see in the expression, this function sin x over x should not be sharp enough, and we will not get a transition of multiple states as long as the system is not in a periodic perturbation. If the perturbation is short, then we can still use time-dependent perturbation theory. Otherwise, we have to use Fermi's golden rule for a periodic perturbation. With this, I conclude this segment of approximation methods. For further details and derivations of various rules and theories and theorems, you can consult books by Griffiths or Shankar or Cohen and Tannaoji, and any other book if you like. Hence, this section of quantum mechanics is complete. Thank you.